Live on location. It's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, live from Wisconsin Media Row at the 2024 Republican National Convention from Panther Arena, the home floor of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee men's and women's basketball team and the Great Admirals hockey team here in Milwaukee. It is Thursday, the 18th of July, 2024. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite, and we welcome you into the broadcast here on a busy afternoon here at Wisconsin Media Row. Coming up a little bit later on, some great guests lined up. We are waiting and hope to have Reed Galen with us via StreamYard or on the stream. He is one of the co-founders of the Lincoln Project. He'll be here a little bit later on. And then the first time in a while, an old friend is back here on the program. We are happy to have her talking to her a little bit about what she's doing for her show at this convention. Kristen Bry, a co-host of Spanning the State on WTMJ Radio, is going to be joining us. And then at 12:30, another Christian Jensen, the former prime minister, or rather, he almost was, actually, former member of parliament and minister of foreign affairs of Denmark, for an international perspective. What are people around the world saying? I mean, Christian is a guy that I've known for 20 plus years. He rose up through the parliament in Denmark, ended up being Minister of Foreign Affairs. He's met with people like Putin. He's met with people like Assad. He has met and been in meetings with Joe Biden when Joe Biden was vice president. So we're going to get a sense from Christian of his take on American politics and what people in the European Union are saying right now as they look at what's transpiring here in Milwaukee and, of course, in Chicago coming up next week. Mr. Zomers, all that, so it's going to be a busy power hour here in hour number one. And, of course, we'll take people's phone calls as well. How are things back home in Madison? High atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square at the Civic Media World headquarters. What up?
Things are good. You know, things are starting to get a little bit back to normal. Luke Mathers is back. He was around the state, not at the convention, but taking care of other things throughout the first half of the week.
He was on the road, I believe, at Eau Claire, and yes. He was at the 3rd District Democratic Forum of the three candidates there. Perhaps you have the info in front of me. I don't. I know we're going to play that forum shortly here for people the next few days.
I believe what we will be airing is not the entire forum, but a report comprising the most important information that people need to know.
I don't
have full information on it yet, but that's what I know.
All right. This is what happens when you're on the road, like I am here. Sometimes I don't get all the memos, as it turns out, and then I start talking off the top of my head. But we appreciate Lukester being up there in Eau Claire, a very important seat for both Democrats trying to recapture that seat after Ron Kind stepped down, and then Derek Van Orten, who we've seen walking around here a few times in Milwaukee, is now the incumbent Republican. Republicans want to hang on to that seat if they want to hang on to the House of Representatives. Very important for them to hang on to that seat. So that forum or highlights of the forum coming up soon. Mr. Zomers, for those watching on the stream, is wearing a Mountain Dew T-shirt. Here was Todd's breakfast, or a part of it, this morning. I have a 20-ounce bottle of Mountain Dew. Because here's the thing. I didn't make myself any coffee this morning, and so I was running around trying to find some coffee. I finally did find like one of those automatic machines. But I like a little caffeine before I get up on the show and going, so I bought some Mountain Dew this morning along with my nutritious Nutter Butter cookies.
Yeah, I was not aware of that. I just put on a shirt that
was on top
of my...
Peanut butter, right? So I mean, it's protein. Yeah. I mean, the water and the peanut butter balance out the sugar, right?
He also has a bottle of water, so you know, it's fine.
It's all good. It's all good. So. Anyway, it's been a busy day here, and I think that where I want to start off a little bit is some developing news here on the national scene. And I've been working a few of my sources in addition to what's happening nationally. And ironically, or interestingly enough, the biggest political news of the day may not be tonight when former President Donald Trump gives his acceptance speech tonight at the dais. Now, coming up tonight from 7 until 8, I'll be joined by our news director here at Civic Media, Terry Bell, for our final wrap-up show in prime time. Terry will be at our broadcast headquarters just outside of Fiserv Forum. I will be here on Wisconsin Media Row. I believe we're going to be joined by Matt Rothschild and also Scott Klug will be joining us as well, a former Republican member of the House of Representatives. So we'll have that primetime wrap-up from 7 until 8, and then following us, former President Trump is scheduled to give his remarks and his acceptance speech. Normally on a day like today, that would be our prime focus, but things have been transpiring over the last 24 to 12 hours, quite frankly. And on the Democratic side now, all kinds of stories are breaking this morning and overnight that there is continued pressure on incumbent President Joe Biden to step aside, to let someone else take the reins for the Democratic Party. Of course, President Biden has been reticent, has said that it would take, quote, the Lord Almighty, unquote, to come down and tell him not to run, for him to step aside. And I think that a lot of people, a lot of analysts, a lot of people in politics at higher levels than I, looked at this over the weekend and the attempted assassination of former President Trump, and it kind of tamped down some of that rhetoric on the Democratic side, saying, look, we can't change horses now in midstream politically. We're just going to stick with Biden. But as I think former President Trump has kind of not made a, other than wearing a huge bandage on his ear, but other than that, it's been kind of business as normal here at the Republican National Convention. They've had their meetings. They've passed this platform. They had J.D. Vance, the vice presidential pick, gave his speech last night. And so as things have kind of normalized as much as they could in this situation at the Republican National Convention, and I'm not talking about normal in terms of their platform. I'm talking how these things run as a convention. It's run pretty, quote unquote, normally as a convention. What's happened on the Democratic side is you're seeing more and more leaks, which are not always normal. And in this situation, having spent a lot of time in politics, to get this kind of leak, what we're talking about here is now former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, now Speaker Emerita, she has kind of let it slip out that she has talked directly with President Biden and said that it just showed in polls, saying not only do they, most Democrats now, believe that President Biden can't win, but they're showing polling now that they could very well lose the House of Representatives, or not regain the House of Representatives, and could lose the Senate as well. In politics, we call that down ballot. You know, you want the person at the top to be the strongest candidate to get people out, to energize them, and hopefully you'll pull along in the political coattails some of these other people. But what it's looking like now is everyone from Nancy Pelosi to Chuck Schumer, the Democratic leader, majority leader in the U.S. Senate, and also Adam Schiff, the Democratic nominee for Senate out in California, and a mentee of Nancy Pelosi, and also reports now that House Democratic leader Hakeem Jeffries has also met privately with President Biden, saying, look, our members are just very, very concerned. What has changed in the last 12 to 24 hours from reporting that I've done and I've seen from others is that apparently now President Biden has gone from reticent to saying, no way, I'm not getting out, to at least listening. And saying, well, show me numbers to see how Kamala Harris or somebody else stacks up. So he is at least listening to this. Now, there's all kinds of wild speculation. Again, we're not going to feed into a lot of that. I mean, if I will say this. If Joe Biden wanted to just take all of the wind out of Donald Trump's sails, he could make the announcement tonight in prime time. Will that happen? Probably not, but we'll see. What I think could happen in the next 48 hours to a week, you could see a situation where President Biden simply says, look, I think that I can still win, but I also think that we need to have the strongest candidate, and that may well be Kamala Harris. Scott Klug is here. Scott, you want to sit down just for a second? Have you got 5 minutes? Sure. See, this is the magic. I captured his phone. I captured my old boss's phone here, and he came by to get it, and I just could grab him for a second here. This is former U.S. Congressman Scott Klug, represented Wisconsin's 2nd District, a Republican, and Scott is going to join us tonight for our round table tonight, our panel discussion with Matt Rothschild and Terry Bell and myself. Scott, thanks for just stopping by for a second. We were just talking about the big story politically may not be today here in Milwaukee, but it may be what's happening in Delaware and the White House in terms of Joe Biden. And I want to give you credit because back in December, Scott and I, because he has the great podcast Lost in the Middle, get it wherever you get your podcast, and also it plays here at Civic Media on the weekends. But we had a little friendly bet back in December, and you're the first person that says, Todd, Biden's not going to be the nominee come next year, and it looks like you were right. Let me turn up your volume here. There you go.
Here we go. Still can't hear myself. Typical media censorship. You know, you won't let the Republican talk.
Can you hear yourself now?
I can.
All right.
I just sort of had that sense. I think it would play out much more proactively, and that I thought it would have been something that I dealt with in the spring. But I felt for a long time that he, you know, just looked shaky enough to me that there'd be a moment where everybody would go, uh-oh. And unfortunately for Biden, it happened in the debate. I'm still not sure he's going. I mean,
Really?
Yeah, I told a couple of people, this reminds me of there used to be a Seinfeld episode with Lloyd Bridges. You remember this one?
Not really. I watched a lot of Seinfeld, too.
Oh, so Seinfeld's working out in the gym, and then this other guy said, I can lift more than you, Seinfeld.
Oh, yeah.
Then Lloyd Bridges bends over and then can't get up. And then his dad comes in, who's like 30 years older than he is, and says, Seinfeld, what are you doing picking on my son? But that sort of Joe Biden reminds me of Mr. Mendelbaum. It's sort of like, I'm Joe Biden. No, this could still kick your butt, you know?
Right.
But I think the problem for Biden's going to be the firewall around him. I don't think Joe Biden wants to stop. I think there's a family narrative that says we're always fighters and we always win. And I'm not sure he's going to walk away.
Wow. I think that, I mean, Trygve Olson said that the Republicans may get the dog that ultimately catches the bus type of thing if Biden steps aside. It may be the best thing for Democrats and the worst thing for Trump if it would be Kamala Harris or somebody else. But who knows? Maybe he won't do it.
I'm not a Kamala Harris fan. I think it's a bad news for Democrats. I meant when she ran in the Democratic primary, she left before she even won. Even got in a state to get votes. I just don't. And the other thing is, you think half the country gets the heebie-jeebies when you talk about California.
There you go, a little preview for tonight. Be back after this. The Todd Allball Show, live here from Wisconsin Media Row on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are at the 2024 Republican National Convention. Thanks, Scott Klug, for stopping by just for a second to say hello. He'll rejoin us tonight on our primetime show from 7 until 8. Right now, I am so excited. I'm so happy to have a great broadcaster, a great journalist, a great entertainer, but most of all, a great friend, Ms. Kristen Bry. Welcome back. We're glad to have you. Look at that.
Hello.
It's so good to have you here.
It's so good to be here. Oh my gosh. This has been a fun week, huh?
Right. I know. And for those that might not know, Kristen was with Civic Media for a long time and decided to go across town. As they say, she is now the co-host of Spanning the State on WTMJ 620 here in Milwaukee. And thanks for taking the time to stop back over.
Thanks for inviting me on. It's fun to be back.
So you have this great program, Spanning the State. You have a co-host. Tell us a little bit about your program and what you guys have been doing here this week at the RNC.
So Spanning the State is on from 1 to 3. My co-host is Brian Noonan, and the show itself is still a new show. It's a little more evergreen, and it does exactly what's in the name. We span the state with stories, sometimes talking about policy, sometimes talking about human interest stories, with more insight than opinion, certainly what I did when I had ASCO's Wisconsin on Civic. And then as a whole here this week, we're trying to have a similar flavor with the interviews we're doing this week. Yeah. And as far as beyond just the big gets of the access to politicians, both national and Wisconsin politicians. I know you had Glenn Grothman on yesterday. Mm. We're trying to tell different stories that are happening here. So my most favorite interview from the week was we got to interview Katie Kingsbury from
Very cool.
the Opinion, mm-hmm. head of Opinion at New York Times yesterday. And she had a really great interview because obviously the New York Times has had some criticism of it recently. Yeah. And she had very honest answers, but obviously mm-hmm. she's a professional. But that was really cool to see, bringing back the curtain a little bit of what it's like to write opinion and whose opinion gets published in the New York Times.
So Kristen and her wonderful husband, Mike, were kind enough to let me crash in their spare bedroom this week. So we've been debriefing a couple nights this week. Tell folks, if you would, I found this extraordinarily interesting about how they fact check opinion.
Yeah, so she said on air yesterday during our interview that the fact-checking team for the opinion department at the New York Times is larger than it is for reporting.
That blew my mind.
I think I audibly gasped on air.
Really, yeah. Right? Because you think, well, it's opinion, but I didn't know they were fact-checking opinions too.
But I think that's important, right? And
absolutely.
As far as it's one thing to have a point of view, it's another thing to lie.
All right. Imagine that. All right, so tell us, folks, about this is a brilliant idea, and I wish I would have thought of it first, but you're fantastic. Tell folks about this scavenger hunt that you're doing, because this is fantastic.
So, you know, I have there's a lot of content going out, because on top of the radio show, I'm also still in the Ideas Lab, which is their the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's opinion mm-hmm. section. So I'm still doing weekly video columns and a column in the paper. So I'm doing a show every morning with them for kind of a recap with J.R. Radcliffe. And then I obviously still have my social media, which is how I got all of these jobs in the first place. And I was like, all right, well, what do I want to do this week mm-hmm. for social content? And it was about late in the day Friday that it dawned on me of in the same way that every debate now, there's bingo cards.
Right.
It's like, what's the game? And the game I came up with is a scavenger hunt. So I had asked a crowdsourced comments from followers on across the social medias of what should I look for? And then I ended up giving them, kind of categorizing them. I have the different points. And I kind of figured if you get a picture of it versus a picture with it, or them if it's a yeah. person, or actually get them to interview, to agree to an interview, it's worth different amount of points. And I hit 100 points.
Congratulations.
And so I had like 67 by day one, and I was like, oh, I'm going to hit 100 pretty easily because I still have a ton to edit and post. But it's been very fun. So if you want to check out, I think so, I have everything highlighted in an Instagram reel. So even if it's retired after 24 hours, it's on my Instagram reel at Kristen Bry or at As Goes Wisconsin. I also have a Twitter thread at Kristen Bry. We're slowly getting everything posted to TikTok. So you can just see. And I'm doing it in, you know, it's a light poking fun at people because it's things that, you know.
It's humorous, but it's not mean.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's been one of my big takeaways from this week is how nice everyone has been, mm-hmm. how willing to talk for the most part everyone has been, and that, as we always say but don't always remember, it's way harder to have those mean conversations face-to-face than it is over Twitter or a comment section.
Yeah. When you don't have a keyboard or a screen to hide behind, it's more difficult to be mean.
Yeah.
I think it's super cool. What's the biggest get in your scavenger hunt so far this week? The one that you found most funny or cool?
Forgiato Blow, mayor of Magaville, Trump, baby. You've not seen the Trump rapper?
You understand, she doesn't stop. She works all the time. She knows all this stuff. I'm just a guy who picks up the paper.
Oh, well, I heard it, and it is
first of
horrible.
All, if you see this guy just walking by.
Oh, really? Okay.
I mean, they sampled Ice Ice Baby.
All right.
So the beat's still still a bop.
Yeah.
But the lyrics are exactly what you'd think they would be. But Amber Rose is also in the music video. And so I saw him walking, so I had a little conversation with him. I've been more excited on the media side, especially the social media side. Mm-hmm. I got to meet Dave Jorgensen, who is the original Washington Post TikTok mm-hmm. guy, who's still there. And so I got to meet him, and he's doing a bunch of bits that he is not indeed J.D. Vance. He looks
just like him.
He looks pretty close.
Oh my God, that's funny. Did you see over here? There was this.
I talked to them yesterday. The Trump poetry
Trump,
guys.
There was Trump poetry.
They're sold out.
Get out.
They're sold out of the Trump poetry.
It's like
so $45 a pop.
$45 to hear Trump poetry.
So if you
it
still,
was probably
it's
written
a
by
collection.
Chat GPT.
No, it's a collection of his tweets.
Oh God.
And I, the Journal Sentinel did a piece on it. I interviewed them, and I'm pretty sure they are comedians and improv actors, but they are very committed to the bit. They're very, very committed to the bit. But you can tell there's just something a little off when you're talking to them, and you try to ask them questions about, you know, is this like kind of tongue in cheek in the same way when someone's wearing "I'm with the felon" shirt. They're like, no, we. They have a.
I'm with the felon. These are real. She's not making this up. You understand?
But the Trump poetry guys also have a. They're collecting signatures to try to get Trump nominated to be the United States Poet Laureate. And so I asked him, I was like, do you know who the Poet Laureate is now? And they're like, no, but do you? And no. I did look it up. It's Ada Limon.
I did not
there
know
you go.
That.
Now I learned something.
No, you bring the comedy, you bring the knowledge. You couldn't and the smile. My God, it just gets me every time. You're the best.
How are you feeling? Last day.
My voice is going a little bit.
Well, I feel like you need to be able to learn to speak from your diaphragm.
Yeah.
Like you should have done more theater like I did, as far as like speaking instead of from your throat, from your
yeah.
From your
I
gut.
Did some, but like
you lose your voice fairly often.
I do. It has to do with I'm getting ear surgery coming up in a couple of weeks.
Oh.
So maybe that'll help.
That'll make a difference.
They're gonna look at my head and find out there's nothing there, as it turns out. And how for listeners of As Goes Wisconsin, your wonderful daughter Frankie?
Oh, she's the best. That's been the hardest part of this week.
Yeah,
is I have made it home the last three nights before she went to bed, which has been great. So I get to see her a little bit, but I've mostly been leaving before she wakes up and getting back right as she got as she's going to sleep. I'll miss her tonight because I'm sticking around for Donald Trump, but then I'm taking a long weekend to hang out with her.
Andrew Main says, Ms. Bry is the reason I started listening to Civic Media. So there you go. We've got fans. Kristen Bry, host of Spanning the State on WTMJ. Thank you, my friend. Appreciate you.
Appreciate you, too.
Stay tuned. Kristen Jensen. Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show, live from Wisconsin's Media Row here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin at Panther Arena. Many thanks to Kristen Bry. How great was that, Mr. Zommers, to get to see Kristen Bry once again?
It was so great to hear from her and that she's doing well and that Frankie's
doing well. Yeah, everybody, Mike's doing well, a wonderful husband. So that's the thing about this business, is that sometimes, for whatever reason, people have different opportunities or whatever, and we go on different paths, but it's the relationships that you meet and make in this business that continue on, whether you're working together on the same set or not. Because it's broadcasting and journalism is a weird business, in that you work weird hours and you go through a lot of common things. And when you find somebody that you can just trust and chill with, that means a lot. And Kristen Bry has certainly been that person for me. So I really appreciate her stopping by. And you know, it's great to still be friends, even though we're not always on the air together anymore. But it's great to have her stop by. We're expecting Kristen Jensen to stop by, and maybe it could be that Todd gave people the wrong StreamYard link. We now believe that it is a Todd problem.
Or that is possible.
Which is possible. I don't think I did, but maybe I did. So while we're waiting for our guests to show up here, we're going to open up the phone lines to you. What do you think about this chatter, this talk, both online and otherwise, of President Biden now apparently saying that he is listening to people around him, telling him that he should consider stepping down, and then juxtapose that with, is this taking attention away from what we probably should, not probably, well, I think we should be spending our time on, which is tonight a 34-time convicted felon is going to be giving the acceptance speech here at the Republican National Convention. A guy who has, his people have helped write something called Project 2025 that his vice presidential pick, J.D. Vance, has said that we played cuts for you a couple days ago here on this show, where J.D. Vance has said that he's fine with getting rid of this civilian, the civil service system, and putting their people, quote unquote, in place. What do you think about that? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. You can also text us on the Civic Media app. You can download it at your Apple or Android device. Takes less than a minute, and it is free. It's what CBS's Gail King calls a deal. By the way, I did not run into Gail King. She's not here.
Sad.
Guess who I did run into yesterday? Nora O'Donnell. Nora, the anchor of the CBS Evening News, managing editor of, and I said, Nora, how are you? And she slugged me. No, she didn't. I didn't say anything. She was busy. She was with people. She walked by, but, you know, I got to say I saw Nora O'Donnell.
Here's what I think. I think, all the reports are is that Biden is listening more. I think he's listening in the way that before people would be like, hey, you should step down. And he'd be like, not a chance, Sonny, get out of here. And now they're like, hey, you should step down. And he's like, oh, really? Tell me how. Tell me why. And they tell him. And he's like, okay, you told me. I listened. Now get out of my house.
I mean, maybe that's the case. I just don't know. But here's Wes in Middleton listening on WMDX saying of the Biden issue, saying, quote, they better hurry and figure this thing out. Time's a-wasting, unquote. Also, Matt listening in Middleton on WMDX says, seems to be that ever since the 2008 crash, the majority wants change. They are so desperate for it, they're willing to try fascism. Regardless of Biden's accomplishments, he is seen as a corporate politician and more of the same, not to mention old. This is why I think change would be a good idea, but will support Democrats regardless, unquote. Thank you, Matt and Middleton, for listening in and offering up your comments. 855-752-4842. We have Carol listening on WMDX in Madison. Carol, thanks for being a listener. What say you? One moment. I think we have, we're working on getting Carol there.
Sorry about that. Now we have Carol here.
All right. Very good. Carol is on the line. Carol, listening to Middleton, Madison, pardon me. Go right ahead, Carol.
Madison. Oh, boy. Where do I start? I've contacted my representatives, Speaker Jeffries, all those guys, and told them to support Biden because if we lose him now, what's the alternative? We've given Trump the White House and Project 2025, and I am so angry at the media for pushing this on us. We've got a convicted rapist, pedophile, as a major party nominee, and nobody's saying anything about that. They're telling the Democrats to tone down your rhetoric. Hello, which guy refers to his political enemies as vermin and poisoning the blood? It is so darn frustrating. I don't think the base, the Democratic base, wants Biden to step down, but I don't know what to say.
No, I think, Carol, your feelings and what you're saying here, in my opinion, is representative of a lot of Democrats. I have a lot of friends who are Democrats, and many of them are expressing the same frustration that, you know, Joe Biden, you're exactly right. Joe Biden has a record to run on. He is an accomplished president. His administration is accomplished. And you're exactly right that the focus, as I started off this program saying, in my opinion, the focus of today should be on us detailing what is going on with Donald Trump. He is a 34-time convicted felon. As you said, he's been found liable in a sexual assault case. Legally and technically, that is rape under the law. The list goes on and on. He has said that he believes that the January 6th insurrectionists are quote-unquote heroes and that he would pardon them. These are dangerous things, right, that are antithetical to American democracy. And as Trigvi Olson, the Lincoln Project, said yesterday, that having Donald Trump reassume the nomination for the MAGA Republican Party is the capitulation of the old Republican Party, which was founded a few miles up the road here in Ripon, Wisconsin. That party is dead. Now this is the party of Trump and the MAGA Party. And that really should be the media focus, in my opinion. But when you have people like now Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi and Adam Schiff, a respected Democratic congressman, now the Democratic nominee for U.S. Senate in California, reportedly Hakeem Jeffries, the Democratic leader of the House of Representatives. You also have Jeffrey Katzenberg now, reports are from Raw Story and other places. Jeffrey Katzenberg, a longtime Hollywood producer who is part of the group along with George Clooney that just raised a record $30 million for Joe Biden here about a month ago. All of these people now, whether directly or through quote-unquote leaks, which, having been in politics, usually those kind of leaks are done intentionally. You know, quote, hey, give this to somebody, but you didn't hear it from me. They want this message to get out, in my opinion. They want this pressure on President Biden. And now this is becoming overshadowing what we should be focusing on Donald Trump. So, Carol, I hear you. I hear the frustration in your voice, and I hear the frustration of a lot of Democrats and independents as well. So appreciate you calling in. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Would love to hear from you. Also, text us on the text line via your Apple or Android device. Andrew, listening in Maine via WMDX, says, unfortunately, the mainstream media will likely talk as much about this nothing burger of a Biden story and will run out of time to fact check the vomit of lies Trump spews tonight.
That's Andrew in Verona, but yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I get my Andrews mixed up. I apologize there. See, this is a good thing that we're on the last day of the convention because Todd's old eyes are just wearing out. Andrew in Verona, we appreciate that. I agree with you, Andrew, to a certain point. As I just said, I think that it's going to be a distraction, what's happening with Biden. I wouldn't go so far as to say the situation with Biden is a nothing burger, because until the Democrats can unify, I mean, I agree with some of the pundits out there. Either let's go with Biden and let's end all this talk about he should step down, and let's rally around Biden and say whether you like him or not, whether he's old or not, whether he can walk great right now or not, that's not going to matter, because whatever shape he is in is better than the alternative of the agenda and the Project 2025 that we're going to get with Trump. So either A, let's rally around Biden and have that set in stone, or Biden should just give the reins over to Kamala Harris or whomever else. They have to make a decision. And until the Democratic leadership does one or the other, it's going to continue to be a story. And I wouldn't say it's a nothing burger, because who the nominee is, it's a pretty big deal. I mean, we are less than a month now, or about a month away, from packing this whole thing up and heading down to Chicago, where we're going to be at the Democratic National Convention. Who is going to face Donald Trump in November? That's a big story. But I agree, it's taking away from the focus that should be on Donald Trump's record. You know, Trump says that he's going to tone things down. That's what he said, that this brush with death on Saturday has changed his view. That's what he said. We'll see tonight what he actually does on the podium. His staff may write a milder speech than in the past, but can Trump stick to it? Or is he going to freelance tonight? We will find out tonight. Here's a listener listening in on WAUK. It says they are 100% with Joe Biden, unquote. 100% with Joe Biden. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. You can also text us on the Civic Media app on your Apple or Android device. Talking about whether or not Joe Biden should step down, whether he should remain the nominee, and maybe more importantly, can Democrats just kind of get their stuff together and make a decision who they're going to rally around. Let's go to Keith listening in on Middleton. We're from the Middleton on WMDX in Madison. Keith, say thank you so much for listening. What say you?
Hey, Todd. Hey, so I'm a Biden guy, right? I mean, I'm riding with Biden, as they're saying. And I think that, you know, I would vote for Mr. Biden if he was on life support on November 7th or 8th, whatever the voting day is. My question for those who are trying to make this change is, how would they possibly get somebody who has a chance to win? I mean, I think that Kamala Harris is a great candidate for president eventually. But at this point, and we're talking, we're basically at the end of July, you've got 3 months. I mean, to me, in my mind, it's too late to make that change. Don't you agree?
Not necessarily. I think that ideally you want the person that won the primaries to be the person that's going to go on to the general election. I would say this, talking to people in politics that I know on both sides of the aisle that are smarter than me, I think there's a real sense that because of the extremism that we're seeing in the Republican Party platform, because of the extremism we're seeing in some of the rhetoric here in Milwaukee from both J.D. Vance and I anticipate tonight from Donald Trump, that basically, if you could just, because look at the polling numbers, you know, whether it's Kamala Harris, Pete Buttigieg, Gretchen Whitmer, Gavin Newsom, all of them are polling within about 5 points of Joe Biden. So that's part of why Biden's not getting out. He's saying, look, nobody else is polling that much better than me. I can still do it. But the Democrats, you know, the leadership, Hakeem Jeffries, Nancy Pelosi, are saying this is why you should get out, because we can put almost anybody up against Trump and his authoritarianism and his extremism. But if we don't have the age problem distracting from that, that our agenda with a younger candidate can win. And also, again, I don't know all the inner workings of the Democratic Party. It's my understanding that Biden could theoretically transfer most, if not all, of his money over to Kamala Harris or somebody else. I think Harris is probably the most viable candidate going into November, but we'll see. So to answer the question shortly, no, I don't think that it has to be Biden. I'm with you. I mean, if Joe Biden has a pulse, I will vote for him over Donald Trump. But we'll see. Always appreciate the call. Thank you so much. 855-752-8848. Try that again, Todd. 855-752-4842. Back with more after this from Wisconsin Media Row. It's the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're here at Wisconsin Media Row at the Republican National Convention. Glad to have you along here in Milwaukee. Mr. Aaron Zommer is our producer engineer back at the world headquarters, high atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square. Looking at this question, two things really. We have the acceptance speech of former President Donald Trump for the Republican nomination tonight. 34-time convicted felon, has been found liable in sexual assault, which is legal rape in the legal world. First time this has happened, certainly in modern history, to have this much of a flawed candidate, a criminal, being put on as the nominee for a major party in the United States of America. And in contrast to that, you have the Democratic presumptive nominee. As we sit here today, the incumbent president on the Democratic side, Joe Biden, who now it's just almost hour by hour, if not minute by minute, a new story of a quote-unquote leak by top Democratic officials saying that they believe that Joe Biden should step aside. And again, there are stories out that in the next couple of weeks, Democrats plan to have a virtual meeting to do the actual nominating process. You saw it here on the floor in Milwaukee earlier this week. There's always a big hoopla when they go state by state. It's a big deal for these states, whether it's Republicans or Democrats. You know, they stand up and whoever gets to do it, you know, they're on their 2 minutes of TV and they say, you know, the great state of Wisconsin, home to Fighting Bob La Follette, home to 15,000 lakes that have fish in them, home to, you know, the great dairy state, the United States of America, cast all of our blankety blank votes. But blankety blank mean however many they have, votes for, and they either say, you know, Donald Trump or Joe Biden. It's a big deal. So Republicans had that this week here in Milwaukee. Now, for different reasons, Democrats are planning, as we sit here right now, to do this virtually over some sort of a Zoom phone call type of hybrid early in August before they arrive here, or rather arrive in Chicago. We have been told on the media side that part of that is the legal complications in Ohio to make sure that the Democratic candidate gets on the ballot in Ohio. Other people in the Democratic Party are saying it's because they want to make sure that Joe Biden is technically the nominee before he gets to Chicago to avoid an open or fractured convention in Chicago. So there's a lot of talk about whatever's going to happen needs to happen quickly. Let's see here. Lots of people lighting up on the phone line. Let's go, Mr. Zombers. We have Carmella. Is that our first caller? Is that correct?
Yes.
Carmella here in Milwaukee. Appreciate you listening on WAUK. Go ahead, Carmella. What do you got?
Well, I just want to say this infuriates me. I'm an independent, but it just seems like the Democrats are their own worst enemies. It really does. Every time that there's an issue, they feel like they want to take the moral high ground. And it doesn't work in all circumstances, and I believe this is one of them. For all the reasons that you just stated about getting on the ballots, about he can only turn the money over and possibly the delegates over to Kamala Harris, it's going to be a nightmare even if he does bow out, which I don't believe he should. Everybody is saying, and everybody, you know, I don't know, the unknown everybody, that he is in good cognitive health. He has been doing the job. And then we also have to look at our worldwide allies. They respect him. They you know, turn to him. This is going to be turmoil if it gets handed over or if he steps down.
Yeah, I agree. Go ahead. Though I agree with you, Carmella. I plan on voting for the Democratic nominee, simply even though I'm an independent, simply because the threat on the right, there is no Republican Party that I grew up in. It's now the MAGA Party, as Trevi also said. It's capitulation by the old Republican Party to the new MAGA Republican Party. But I also agree with you that Democrats need to get their stuff together and figure out who their nominee is going to be sooner rather than later, so that the focus could go back onto Donald Trump and the alternative that voters are going to face in November. Really appreciate the call and appreciate your listenership, Carmella. Thank you so very much. Off the text line at WGBW in Green Bay, Wisconsin says, "Hey, Todd, my friends and I have a political text group. We will vote blue no matter what, but we'd like to see Harris Newsom in 2024. Thanks for listening up there in our beautiful station in the town of Green Bay, WGBW, the talk of Green Bay. Let's see. Also, we have a Mary in Oshkosh listening in on WISS Oshkosh Air Support. Mary, thanks for listening. What say you?
Or no, she texted in previously and says, please tell the people what Joe Biden's accomplishments are.
Oh, sorry about that. I apologize. We can list that. We can maybe go into that a little bit next hour. But sure, I mean, if you want to look, it's a roaring economy. Jokes were being made, actually, that speeches are being made here in Milwaukee by Republicans attacking the Biden-Harris administration. And then the next minute, they're looking on their phones at their investments of 401k, because guess what? The stock market's roaring. I mean, that's going along great. Most jobs created by a president, last five administrations combined. You look at the success of student loan forgiveness. Nobody's forgiven more student loan than Joe Biden. You look at what he's done around the world internationally, bringing coalitions together, whether it's Ukraine, whether it's in helping Taiwan, American interests around the world. I mean, this is a guy who's gotten a lot of stuff done. The infrastructure bill, during the Trump administration, it became a joke, right? It was always going to be infrastructure week. It never happened. Under Joe Biden, along with Pete Buttigieg, Secretary of Transportation, they put together and got through in a bipartisan vote the infrastructure bill, which is helping states and areas like Wisconsin. We took this show to Superior. We're in front of the Blatnick Bridge when Joe Biden came and said, here's $1 billion for the state of Wisconsin and Minnesota to build the new Blatnick Bridge connecting Superior in Wisconsin to Duluth in Minnesota. The amount of commerce the amount of tourism, the amount of economics. He was down here in southeast Wisconsin, just outside of Racine, Kenosha, trying to clean up Scott Walker and Donald Trump's mess with Foxconn. I mean, it was a con. And Joe Biden helped local officials, did a lot of the work here, but Joe Biden worked with them and said, look, we're going to bring federal support to actually help create jobs here with Microsoft in southeast Wisconsin. That's a record of accomplishment. There's something to run on, whether it's Joe Biden or Kamala Harris. That's what we should be talking about in contrast to Donald Trump. We'll do it in hour two, along with your phone calls, 855-752-4842. We're at Wisconsin Media Row, the All Ball Show on the Civic Media.